Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, where we'll talk with real estate investors, entrepreneurs, business leaders, athletes, and more to inspire you with their success stories so you can work hard, never give up, and dream huge. And now, let's start the show.
Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast. We love to share success stories from huge dreamers, folks in the real estate business, entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, influencers, and more. And hopefully these stories will help to motivate and inspire you to dream huge. I'm Pete Peterson here today as your host of the Dream Huge Podcast. And we have our very special guest, Mr. Rob Ellis. He is a real estate entrepreneur, and he's going to share with us his real estate journey, where that has taken him, the highs, the lows, the successes, the failures, from where he started to where he is today. So Rob, how you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. I've been looking forward to this, man. And I know for sure something that I was on another podcast maybe a month ago, and it's cool to be like kind of starting to feature on a lot of these, but just like even from our own network. So I'm really happy to be on and share kind of what I've been up to. So
thank you, man. Yeah. We're excited about it. You know, like I said, it's all about motivating, inspiring others. So take us back to the beginning, man. How did you get into real estate?
Yeah. And just comment on that, man. I think there, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of Bigger Pockets. I'm super active on there, and there's lots of guys that are always looking for mentorships, and they'll always say, hey, do you take mentors or can you help me do this? And I think that's, you know, by doing this, it's like, I could just say, hey, check this out, you know? So yeah, going back, I got my interest in real estate in, so everything that I've been, it'll be 10 years in real estate after, actually in about May of this year. So I'm just a couple months away, 2 months away, maybe 2.5 months away from my 10-year anniversary of a decade in real estate. And, I studied finance and real estate in college. I went to Ohio State. I've also been in Columbus for the last 10 years. So just that knowledge and kind of sticking to real estate and one geolocation, I think gives me a lot of really wide knowledge and tons of connections that, you know, I have like 5,000 Facebook friends. Most of them are in real estate just from over the years. So I graduated at Ohio State in 2014 with a degree in finance. Went to JP Morgan for 2 weeks and hated it right here in Columbus. And I quit. I was super nervous. I hated the corporate desk. And I decided to go get my real estate license, you know? So I got my real estate license in, I moved back home and drove for, I knew I wanted to be in Columbus. So I drove for like Lyft and Uber all summer, saved up like $3,000, I think. And I was getting my real estate license. It takes 60 or 90 days. And then I remember I felt like the biggest risk I ever took was moving to Columbus with $2,000 in my bank account, you know, but that was a big risk for a guy from Toledo, which is where I'm from. You had to hustle from the start, you know, that hustling mindset that I still try to hustle every day. It's all commission in real estate. You know, I'm a real estate agent was hustling.
So what did hustle look like? What were you doing?
The best way I can describe it is, it's funny, I cold calling, first of all. So I asked some guys that were 28 in real estate, and I said, hey, look, I need money right now because I don't want to move back to my parents. You know, I'm not worried about dating. I'm not worried about hitting the gym. I just, you know, it's like, you got to be able to pay your rent. I just don't want to move back to Toledo. So I would sit for 12 hours a day above. I remember staring at this funeral home all day long in German Village. It was right there on High Street. And it was literally just calling apartment owners asking if they would let me lease their buildings. I would stare at this funeral home asking, you know, owners all day long if I could lease their buildings up, you know? So that was, I started in rentals, and then one guy said for rent or for sale. And I ended up selling his place, and it was like 4 times more than anything I ever got from renting apartments. So I switched to brokerage sales then at that point.
Love it. It all started with the cold calls though, baby.
Cold calls. And the only place to get it, it used to be the rental contact for investment. So I had a lot of apartment owners. So that actually kind of got me into multifamily brokerage. I had all these contacts from selling, and I ended up, one of my buddies was in commercial real estate and he wanted to start buying small multifamilies and selling them. So I think I sold him 7 buildings over 3 years and he made over $1 million. And my fees might've been like 100 to 150,000 from that. So that was like the first part of my process, selling apartments and multifamily and land. And I've always liked working with investors and the finance side of real estate, not really like the homeowner side, you know? So that was kind of the start.
Yep.
And my big transition was, you kind of get tired of seeing people making way more money than you. It's like, how could a guy, you know, my buddy had said, dude, thanks a lot. You made me $1 million. And I'm like, maybe I need to make $1 million, you know? So exactly, right? So it's like, maybe I'm in the wrong portion of this. And I ended up switching. I bought a flipping franchise. And that's called We Buy Ugly Houses. And there was maybe 8 of them in Columbus. You know them? You ever heard of that? Or I don't know. It's like a structured one.
Heard of them.
Yep. I started to do, and you're going to love this. I feel like it's always been me seeing someone else making more money than me that's made my transition, right? So I'm doing, you know, I think my biggest flip I might have made $200,000 on. It was like a 6-bed aside duplex on campus I bought for $3 million. But I knew all the numbers. I mean, I was telling them it was 3,700 square feet. I was buying at $80 a square foot and it was existing. And I actually did like a sale lease back. I rented it myself and Airbnb'd it. And that made another girl who bought it for $500,000 be able, or maybe $550, be able to rent out. It might've been like $150 I made. I don't remember. It's been years and years, but she could live for free, you know? And I said I would pay her 1 year up front if she closed the deal. So I bought it and sold it like maybe within 6 months and, you know, things were going really well, but I ended up doing a lot of condo conversions in kind of like the C markets, like, and things kind of went south. I didn't have a lot of construction experience. I started to get more into construction management. I was flipping up like, or I was fixing up like 6 or 8 doubles all at once. And, one of the hardest times in my life, I was, my bank, all that money I made in flipping, it started to go down and down and down, and then eventually just caught up where I either had to pay my rent. Well, first I had to lay my employees off, you know, and then I either had to pay my mortgages or I had to pay my rent. And it's like, I don't think anyone really understands the pressure that comes with trying to pay creditors off. I talked to a few bankruptcy attorneys and just talking to them is almost like therapy. Just like they help you through that pressure of just like, you know, it wasn't that, it's more of like, I had one with hard money. All the projects were pretty much done. It's just like all these refinances and mortgages and stuff that's on the market and being over budget on some. So I think it was in December of 2020, I filed for bankruptcy or 2021. I think it was 2021. And that was one of the, you know, I had to get rid of my brand new Jeep that I had and get like a Honda CRV, you know, it's like all that stuff of like the, you know, and then I had to rebuild. But really one of the other things that happened was I skipped part of it, which was I was doing a flip and I paid a dumpster guy, $5,000 in one day. And I was like, how is that even possible? I was just doing the math. That's like $1 million. And I'm like, and that guy's not taking the risk and personally guaranteeing loans. And so I actually got into the dumpster business and junk hauling business. So I had dumpsters and roll-offs and I had a junk removal truck and I started Pink Junk Removal around the same time, maybe 2020. And I mean, I had all this experience flipping and you know, I got my demolition license at that time, plus my general contractor license right around that time back in, like I got the actual licenses for it because I had all the experience doing it from like the previous 3 years. And so my business was going well, but my real estate business wasn't. And so I actually got totally out of agency. I said, I gotta focus on one thing, right? Like, I don't know if you ever read Gary Keller's One Thing book, but I was doing that one thing, but in like three or four businesses, and I was crazy worked and all this stress. And I was like, you know, when I said, if I'm going to do this bankruptcy, like, I can't believe I'm 20 something declaring bankruptcy, and all these people that, you know, I feel like I'm letting a ton of people down. And, you know, it's people ask for money and I'm like, look, you know, I have to refer them to my bankruptcy attorney, because just paying one person could mitigate my bankruptcy, like make it go back. So you have to be very technical and very black and white. And people, I think, are kind of, I just kind of closed myself off. I stopped selling houses and I just focused on my construction business, and I took it national. So my construction business, we went into demolition. I was doing a ton of demolition already. I got rid of my junk removal, because, like, I was, you know, when I started, I was driving a $99, picking up $99 mattresses, and I was in the truck with the muddy boots and scooping up, you know, roach filled basements with mud and, you know, like, flooded basements. People were, my slogan used to be, if it stinks, call Pink. And it's like a play on the, you know, a little bit inappropriate, but the point is, call us when you have work that no one else will do. And so I was doing the nastiest work available, doing hoarder houses and clean outs. And I used to walk sites and have fleas crawl on me, you know? And like, I literally remember one time I was at a house and it was a $40,000 house, and the guy paid me like 12. I was selling it, but he knew that because I did this nasty stuff. He's like, let me get this nasty house of rabbiting and list it too. I think for $1,200, he paid me to like clean it out and pull the carpets, but I had fleas all over me and I wasn't prepared. So I had to strip down to my underwear, like in the 30 degree cold in like an inner city neighborhood of Columbus. Yeah. And there's like this girl across the street just laughing, just watching like this, like, like, you know, just laughing at it. And that was like, but it's like fun. It's fun to have those stories. And I have millions and millions of stories like that from all the, you know, nasty houses that we did work at, and like a clown room filled worth of 50 clown heads that I had to clean out, and like, you know, just the treasures you can find. But you kind of get past that where you can never, it's like the book that's entrepreneur based. I don't know what it's called, but it's working in your business, not on it. So I'm the guy in the trucks and I'm, you know, I'm never going to get past this. If my bill rate, if my profit rate is $30 an hour, so I have to focus on larger priced. So my demo was like $5,000, $3,000, $10,000, sometimes as high as 20. So I said, let me focus on the demo. Well, when we went national, you know, I probably bid 15,000 jobs over 4 or 5 years. I had a team of 6 offshore civil engineers in the Philippines doing stuff. I got to go to 20 states. I did projects as big as like maybe $400,000 that were my trade packages, but those are probably like $20 million jobs. And like just everywhere, Vegas, Reno, Texas, Florida, Atlanta, Pennsylvania, New York, the Carolinas, Wisconsin, obviously Ohio, Michigan. You know, I've done projects all over the place in every asset. Florida, one of my favorites. I did 6 or 8 projects in Florida and gave me a ton of credibility and experience and really helped me with my mindset, where it's like Columbus, Ohio, you know, selling houses that, you know, I went from selling and leasing apartments and lifting $98, $99 mattresses to, you know, last year. And this is my most recent transition. You know, this is again, another low point. I have partners, right? I raise capital for our partnerships, because to do commercial, you have to have a couple $100,000 to float. We are typically owed $300,000 to $400,000 at a time, which is a lot of money. That's a cost of a new build or 2 new builds, you know? And last year, 2 different companies, we extend credit. People that don't know about finance, we extend credit to others. That's my credit that I'm extending. So I went from personal bankruptcy to now I'm extending money in cash that we have. So, you know, how do I pay my guys when I'm not getting paid for 68? So you have to raise, when I talk to people, it's, hey, I'm doing all this stuff and we have a couple investors that do stuff. And we had 2 companies that didn't pay us the combined value of $100,000 just because of disagreements on scopes and, you know, methods and things. And that's enough to fold a small business. So people that are in construction, I think, know that. Yep. And so I dissolved those businesses. I transitioned to general contracting. I had that general contracting license. I did projects that were like general contracting for a long time. you know, I did lots of interior remodel still, and I had a painting company we did a bunch of stuff with. And finally, why do one trade when I can do all of them? So general contracting is, instead of performing them, let me be a construction manager and facilitator. So if you look at the biggest general contractors like Turner, they're publicly traded. They are just a construction facilitator. They make sure the jobs are safe. They're moving along. They got the job site trailers. They do the engineering. They do, you know, they don't do the engineering, but now, you know, I transition into vertical integration of development. So development and construction. So we do projects start to finish. So somebody that might have, you know, this is like where I'm at now and kind of the lane that I'm in, which is what I love. It's everything that I love, real estate. It's still selling every day. It's still, but it's not as much boots on the ground. It's not as much risk. We do, you know, we just drive down the cost and we hire companies to do things like what I was doing. I was hired 100 times in 20 states. And now I put myself, again, from seeing 50 or 100 construction contracts and negotiating with, you know, I'm a small business, a couple million dollars. They were $500 million construction firms that I'm selling and negotiating with. And they are doing work for billion-dollar companies like Walmart. I worked on Target, Burlington, hospital networks, education centers, you know, like Ohio State, I did projects. I did Grove City High School, a lot of public projects. You know, like from all that experience, it's like, how do I get closer to the owners? That's as close as you can get. The owners aren't the ones doing the stuff. So what I would consider what we do now is more owners rep services. And that relates to new construction. So development, construction management, and it's in multifamily development, multifamily ground up, single family, affordable housing mostly, very, very small homes. The biggest I build is 1,700. The smallest that I build, I'm building a 700 square foot house right now in Newark. We're about to break ground on maybe in 3 weeks. And it's, I want to prove that only in our market, only 2.5% of homes are sold under 250,000. So 97% of people can buy my home and it's super upgraded. We have a very modern, you know, it'll be solid surface. It's a luxury, affordable home, no garage. It's the size of an apartment. But in our market, the smallest, you know, I don't know if you know, are you in Columbus?
We're an hour north.
Okay. Do you know Mansfield. Bridge Park? Do you know Bridge Park in Dublin? You ever heard of that?
No, I know Dublin.
They sell these,
I mean, I know of Dublin.
500 square foot condos there for, by studying new builds, which I did for the last 6 months, there are homes that sell for $450 a square foot. What are they? Condos in Dublin that are very small. So I said, well, what if I took that, made it a house? I add a bedroom, so it's not a one bedroom, and I build it in Newark. So we have a couple going in Newark, which is the number one market for new construction under 400,000 this year. Yep. Licking County, Intel, all that stuff. We have two projects going there. I have one mm-hmm. with a group in Texas and one with a group from New York. So these groups we contract with, and I travel to a lot of conferences. And they, you know, you can't buy land in New York for 10 grand and build a house on it. You can here, you know, in the city of Columbus, you can buy lots for 25 grand right. and build it. The last, I've gone to four conferences of more than 500 attendees, and a lot of these cost $5,000 or $10,000 to go to. And there is a massive affordable housing shortage, not just in single family homes, but also apartments. And so I build a stacked triplex right now. I have two of those going that are in the process of rezoning applications. And I took that top unit and I'm making it a house. So it's the same thing, but I'm building the same floor plan as an apartment as I am a home as a proof of concept, you know, and to show people that I'm a big data guy. And, you know, I did a nonlinear regression model. And what we found is that for homes that sold between 300 and 400,000, I plotted every one of them against, there's like a 0.9, it's like exponential. So for every 100 square feet you build, you actually gain $10 a square foot in resale. So like, and I applied it to data set too. So like in Newark, a 1,500 square foot home sells for $220 a square foot. A 2,200 square foot new build, this is all new builds, not existing, sells for $140 a square foot. So D.R. Horton, who's doing one out there, probably lost money on those new builds. So, but if I build smaller, if I build on the small end of that, not only can people afford it, right? And I'm upgrading these. These are going to be nicer than any home that you could ever buy at $300, $350, $400. You know, it's not undermounts. It's not, you know, it's solid surface countertops, soft close, you know, solid wood cabinets, whatever upgrades you want to consider. It's a hardy siding. You know, I know the exact cost of what they are, but I just take whatever my cost is and I add $50,000 to it. And I say, let's see if someone will buy it. And if not, I'll just make it a rental, right? So I'm in the process of testing different floor plans and seeing what people really like. But there is a massive Airbnb market here, short-term rentals. And of course, I would love to help someone get a home, but I'm not going to really pick. I think a guy in California might buy it and make it a rental because it looks super modern, you know? So that's kind of what we're doing now. So we're trying to solve this affordable housing crisis and contribute to it. You can't even make a dent. We're 50,000 houses behind in Columbus for what we need. We're only building 12,000 housing units between apartments, condos, and single families a year. We need about 18,000. So we're 6,000 shy every year, and we have been since 2008. So I don't know what that is. Maybe that might even be more than 50,000. But, you know, building one house is never going to make an impact. But for me, it's a place that I can make money, where a lot of people can afford, where there's very low risk. And if you look again at the stats distribution curve, 97% of people can build. The average new build in our market now in Central Ohio is $520,000, and I'm selling these sub 200. You know, so
love it, love it, love it. All right, so recap all that. So, you know, you really pivoted throughout your career here, throughout your journey. Like you said, you started here. You said, oh, boss man's making this kind of money. Let me pivot and do what he or she does. Yep. Oh, then you change over to this industry. Oh, look, the garbage guy's making this much money. Let me pivot to do what he does. And you kind of just keep pivoting and keep figuring things out as you go. And that is truly the entrepreneurial mindset. People don't get it. People think they have to have it all figured out first and then take action, but it's quite the opposite. You need to take action first and be willing to figure it out as you go. And you're a perfect example of that. And you've taken that all the way into developing new houses, new affordable housing, which is very much needed in our area, and just helping folks out. And that's what,
you know, the Near East District downtown. It's King Lincoln, Southern Orchards. It's a really strong multifamily market. So new construction in the Near East District goes for over $300 a square foot. So you're talking about urban cores and business plans. Like, if you can build, you know, when I started even in building and selling these houses, I was like, let's buy the cheapest land. But actually, what you want is the cheapest land you want the biggest equity gaps. Where can I sell for the most and buy the cheapest land? And it's all stats and research, and then you find it. And we found there's only three zip codes that we really build this triplex, because there's also zoning. There's zoning processes that you can do it. But now I can either build that house, or I can build three houses in one and still help solve the problem. So what helps people more? Somebody that can buy a house, or me? When you're a developer, it's about delivering units, right? So if I could deliver three for every project that I do, it's like if I did a 10 unit or a 50 unit or a 250 unit. And we have projects in all those sizes going right now. I got a 20 some in Florida and a couple hundred units up here that we're trying to get land pushed together. I do all these videos now. I'm starting to do two videos a week on what we do, so that people can see and watch and see what does developers do and what does Rob do. And, you know, they can follow and say, 2 years ago I was doing this, right? Like, now I'm back out there and pushing it really strong because I'm finally in my niche that I feel confident in, that I know that I'll be able to add a lot of value. But the last piece of that is, that's, to me, I think I can make more of an impact by delivering affordable apartments in Columbus and then just affordable homes. And that's called, like, it's called 30% of AMI, which is, if you took what does the average person make in Franklin County, what can they afford? But these are market rate. It's not affordable housing. So we're building apartments in high price point areas and underwriting them at rents that people could afford, right? It's up to the owners what they put them in, but I'm very conservative in our underwriting. So I might say like a 2-bedroom new construction rents for $1,500 in the Near East District when you could probably get 18, right? Or 16 or 1650 or Airbnb to make 25, right? That's up to the ownership group if they do it, but I can make a statement whether or not someone actually rents it out. It's up to them, but there's tax abatements that people are doing. I mean, it's a very sophisticated product, but we have realtors that do it and we build at a 20% discount below market, you know? So someone builds for with the land maybe at 380 and it's worth 525 so they can refinance. I might make 50 or 60 on the building, which it's great. If I build 5 of those a year, that's a great income, right? And I'm just facilitating it. I can do it with me and one guy. So that's the point of the transition. It's that leverage of where can I find? So I'm in high ticket, long cycle sales. And where I used to make 3% as an agent, general contractors make maybe 20%. So I 6 or 7x that per project. And it just, I upgraded my skill set, knowledge, experience, and I think I've applied it to something that I'm very interested in. And going back to like the comment about evolving, you know, this is why I travel. Florida had 400,000 net migrations last year, 440,000. Ohio had 5,000 total, which, you know, Ohio in general, Columbus is a lot of that, right? But you know, you have to think of like Toledo, where I'm from. I moved here and stayed. People in Cleveland move here and stay. You know, people in central North Ohio move here and stay. Appalachia move here and stay because of opportunity, right? So more people move to Florida in 1 week than Ohio in the whole year, net. So we're moving into the Florida markets now where there's a lot of interest because I tried to sell my product to big hedge funds and publicly traded firms and people that would do it. And there's very little interest in Columbus. It's not even in the top 20 markets. So I can be the best at what I do and still a top market. I love Columbus. Like it's a great, just like you love Mansfield, you know, we just did a project at Mansfield. Like Mansfield's great and it's transitioning and it's like a lot of other cities, right? It's seeing a lot of, you know, Mansfield is starting to do new builds up in there. Now there's the south side of Mansfield. Areas that have never built before ever had 5 houses that were listed and sold last year. And so they're on emerging markets that we have on our, that we track, right? It's the first year and we'll see if that keeps up. But for the first time, like the southern side of Mansfield, like it's creeping up 71 there to get where you guys are at. So yeah, that's kind of the, my skill, you know?
Well, like I said, you know, you're doing an amazing job. You're doing all of that. Like you said, you've increased your profit per deal. You've increased your percentage of profit per deal, your commission profit, I should say. You know, you continue. And on top of that, you get to provide a product that we need. So that's very rewarding. And you are providing investors with opportunities. And I, you know, that's why people, and even here in Mansfield, we have people coming in from Alaska, Oregon, West Coast, East Coast. They're coming here and investing here because we have opportunities. Like you said, you can buy the land cheaper, you can build cheaper, you can buy a $50,000 house and rent it for $1,000 a month. You cannot do that in the big cities.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what we do as builders and developers. We provide opportunities not only for ourselves but for investors looking for returns on their money. And it sounds like you're doing an amazing job of that. So Rob, I don't want to keep you all day. I know you're a busy guy. So where can folks follow you and watch those videos as you progress? Yeah.
So I post them on my Facebook. I have a public developer profile, but I have a YouTube that's just called Pink Development and Construction. We've been posting 2 videos a week on there, and it's mostly like site walks. You know, it's meant to be, since I'm in new construction, I keep the focus on, you know, buying night smart land. Everything is done before the deal closes, like all of the underwriting, everything. So Pink Development Construction on YouTube, that'd probably be the best way. And all of my contact info is in every video at the in the description. So anybody could reach out.
My man, Rob Ellis with Pink Development Construction. Rob, before you leave, give me one piece of advice for somebody who may be starting out.
I think where I went wrong, you know, I don't guarantee, I do this as a deal facilitator. I do not guarantee. After my personal bankruptcy, I never want to do that again. So I am extremely hesitant to do anything with any kind of lending or guarantee. So I think my advice would be, I guess, two pieces. I know you didn't ask for, but find people doing deals, find a lot of transactional volume if it's real estate, right? But more generally, I think it's important to understand risk. And, you know, that's my biggest mistake in my last 10 years. As I look at 10 years, it's, you know, my personal bankruptcy and the impact that I had, not just on me, but the families that, you know, the electrician that spent $1,000 on a job that maybe that goes to his rent that I owed him, right? And I couldn't pay that guy. I felt like the scum of the earth for that. So I think just understanding risk and credit and, you know, I know you probably got a lot of real estate guys, but just what a personal guarantee really means. And it's one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. And now it's been 3 years and I'm past it and it doesn't impact me, but that would be my advice. And that's just because it was such a low for me that, you know, not only the stress, but just like the trauma that it causes and just sadness. So I'm glad to come back from that. So now it's all smiles, you know, as we make these guys money.
That's it, man.
I'll high five you when we follow through with what we said we would, you know. So accountability.
That's right. Now, that's right. Those are valuable lessons. Valuable lessons learned.
Yeah, I vet deals a lot more. Yeah. I am
valuable lessons learned right there.
Yeah, financial manager. So we got to do it right for him, you know.
Yep, my man Rob Ellis. Well, it was good connecting with you today. And thank you for sharing your story so far. Very motivational, very inspirational. Rob Ellis, make sure you follow him on YouTube and on Facebook as well. Thank you for joining the Dream Huge podcast, Rob. Thank you everyone for watching and listening to the Dream Huge podcast. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share. And as always, remember the rules: work hard, never give up, and dream huge. Ain't that right, Rob? Put the guns up, buddy.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Boom.
Dream huge.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more inspiring content, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dream Huge Realty and on TikTok at Dream Huge Inc. Until next time.